Hi, welcome to the Subway ad for $2.99 subs. How would you like it?
I'll take Drill Sergeant, please.
You got it.
All right, now listen up. I want each and every one of you to drop and give me a 6-inch meatball marinara, cold cut combo, veggie delight, or Black Forest ham on your choice of bread with any veggies you want for just $2.99 each.
Sir, yes, sir!
Subway! Make it what you want at participating restaurants. Additional charge for extras plus applicable tax. No additional discounts or coupons may be applied.
This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, good morning. My name is Daryl Ong and you're tuned in to Banan, our weekly sports show that brings you through the ins and outs of the sporting world. This week's sporting team might be a bit unexpected for some, as we are exploring an ecstatic sport, one that combines artistry and technique. Dance sport has come a long way from its roots in traditional ballroom dancing in the early 20th century. Today's competitive ballroom and Latin dancing also features prominently in mainstream sport at international events such as the Asian Games and the SEA Games. On the show this week to help shed some light on this notion of dance sport is Shua Zheng Feng, who with his wife and dance partner Yvonne Chong are the current 8-time undefeated national Latin champion. They represented Malaysia in major competitions such as the 2013 World Dance Sport Games in Taiwan and the German Open Championship in 2014. Here's Shua Zheng Feng.
Dance sport actually originated from the World Dance Sport Federation, where they pull in Latin and standard dancing. Latin American dances such as samba, cha-cha, rumba, paso doble, and jive. And for the standard dancing, we have another 5, which is the waltz, tango, Viennese waltz, foxtrot, and quickstep. So this is where they started everything. And after that, soon after, they got salsa, merengue, bachata, hip-hop, and breakdancing and etc. into the World Dance Sport Federation family as well. So from the term dance sport, it was actually created by the International Olympic Committee, which is the IOC. So the aim was to actually get dance to become a sport. To become a sport, it will first start off with the Olympic Family Games. The Olympic Family Games such as SEA Games, Asian Games and Asian Indoor Games. So in future, once everything is set, so I think dance could be in the Olympic Games.
There's indeed been good news for dance sport. It's been announced that breakdancing will be included for the first time in the 2018 Youth Olympic Games. Can dance sport be a force to be reckoned with in the near future?
In Tokyo, not possible because it was actually rejected for multiple reasons as well. I'm not sure what are the official reasons. Some of them that I know could probably because of they still have problems with their marking system. That would be one of the reasons because dance is a very subjective sport. There will be a 12 panel of judges. We cannot judge based on what we like. We have to judge based on, the technical reason of it, For example, figure skating and ice skating, they have to do multiple different kind of spins and you have to meet the requirement, only we will give you the points. So the same thing with dance sport, they have to make certain regulations like that in order to get it into Olympics. For breakdancing, I believe they probably would have already found a way because it's a different kind of genre in our dance. So I think they have found a way and they are trying to get... It's a big step for dance, any dance, all of us. Once breakdancing is in, I think it's easier for the other dance sports to come in.
Dance sport has always been carrying a stigma of being a feminine activity.
I get that feedback a lot, most of the time. I think I'm not the only one. I think almost every male dancer or male Latin dancer would get that feedback either from your friends, from your classmates, from your relatives, probably from your family. I think it's kind of normal. I think it's unfair to say that our dance or any other dance, it's feminine because there's no dance that is feminine unless that you're doing the lady step, But in Latin dancing and in ballroom dancing especially, it's a very dominating step for the men. So I will take an example. For example, if you were to look at a couple, if the guy is weak in his dancing or in his technique, no matter how good the lady are, they will still not go, or pursue very far in the results. So generally, the man has to be very masculine, has to be very dominating. He has to know what he's doing, actually. So whether to the question where whether has this issue discouraged me from dancing, none so far, fortunately. So it in fact actually did encourage me to go further because I would want to prove, you know, to those that who have advised me in a way, you know, or criticized us that, you know, you should focus on your studies and then become an engineer and so and so and so. It's good to become an engineer, but it is just not me, you know.
Yeah.
Maybe I wasn't born to become an engineer.
At your academy, do you see more and more parents sending their boys to learn?
Yeah, in fact, I wouldn't say we had the most boys, but I think we are one of the schools who have quite a number of boys. We had, I think, about 20, probably.
I see.
Yeah,
okay.
Some schools might only have one or two.
In 2011, Chua and his wife Yvonne Chong founded My Dance Sport Academy, a dance school to coach dancers to perform and compete in Latin and standard dances. What kind of students come to your academy and how are they coached?
The youngest age that we take in would be 5 years old, and all the way until there's no limit, as long as you can still dance. Yeah, but the reason why we take in 5 years old, because we believe starting from five at least, the kids would generally be able to be more absorbing, you know, they are able to absorb what you're trying to teach, maybe not too difficult, but you know, they are trying to learn or they are trying to cope. Our school is actually well known for competitive dance sport. A lot of the athletes, be it whether are they new or those the current ones where they are switching over, they would usually come to us because of our reputation, you know, or could be something else. Yeah, to coach a competitive dancer, we will have to make plans with them, even the schedules where they are going. In January, you have to go to Hong Kong, you know. In July, you have to go to Japan, and before that, we have to make plannings like that, and we have to make sure that they meet their. They don't have a weight requirement, but the coaches will set, you know. Okay, your feet are too slow. You have to loosen, you know. You have to lose some weight, or you have to gain some mass, you know. Certain things like that. We have to do it with them. We don't do the gym with them, but we just tell them, okay, next month I need to see you're down to, you know, how many kilos and certain things like that, and I need to see this, you know, being raised up, certain things like that. As opposed to when we are teaching to a beginner, there's no such thing. Basically, we just come. They just want to have fun, so we just have fun. There is no stress. There's no, you know, lecturing involved. There's nothing else. Just fun. But the thing is, out of the 10 students maybe in the beginner class, probably 5 or 6 might stay, you know, for a longer period, because they will want to, I want to go for an examination, dance examination, because there's a sense of purpose. I have never, maybe there are, but I have never encountered beginner dancers who will stay just to do for fun for what, more than 3-4 years, because there's no sense of purpose.
Competitive dancers like Chua take part in a number of competitions around the globe all year round. How long in advance do they start preparing for any competition, and how do they manage their practice schedules?
We cannot prepare just, you know, 2 or 3 months. We are always prepared. Like, we are not fully prepared. No dancer is fully prepared. If you ask them, are you prepared? No, none of them can give you the definite answer. But we know our plan. A full-time dancer like us, we will usually have, okay, January we have this comp, March we have this comp, you know. So we will prepare along the way. So we are training. We have our regular routine, our practices. So it's like, for example, I will take Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday and Sunday is our practice time. So whatever we do, those are practice schedules. So we just stick to it. We just do and do and do. Even though it's on holidays, even though, you know, when we have something else.
Competitive dancing is a combination of artistry and sport. So I wonder about the kind of criteria that dancers are assessed by. With artistic ability in the picture, can the judging be quite subjective?
Back in the days, it was very subjective. All the judges have to do is to mark your number in, and when you reach the final, how do you get your first to sixth place? It's just by giving you the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, whether you're first place or second place. But nowadays, in order to get into Olympics, they have already changed the system. They call it the adjudicating system, or the, you know, judging system 3.0. Now this is the latest one. So they would have 4 main criteria. The first one is technical quality. The second one is choreography and presentation. Third one is music to movement. And fourth one is partnering skills. These are the 4 main ones. Every single criteria, they have the sub-components. Like for example, a technical quality, they have another 12 sub-components inside. Inside the technical quality, posture is inside, your holds, your preparation, your foot actions, your Latin actions, everything is inside. So the adjudicators or the judges, they have to be trained and licensed in order to be able to judge every single couple in a very quick duration. it is already a fixed routine, a choreography where it was given, you know, by our coaches and everything. What we have to do is to master it, make it even better, you know, to fit the criteria in the judging component so that we are getting marked, you know, we are being marked by the adjudicators and everything. However, the dance routine, they would change from time to time. For example, maybe after 5 competitions, we'll assess our results. We have a detailed results, you know, every single round, every single dance, what judges, you know, gave us marks, what judges doesn't like us, you know. So we'll assess it together with our coach. Now our coach will say, okay, now your samba is not this, so and so and so. We need to change certain part, you know. Then, you know, things will get changed.
Is there room for creative improvisation or creative?
Yes, of course. Yeah. Because now it's 2018. A lot of the Latin dancing nowadays, you see, they have a lot of, a little bit of, you know, other genres coming in. Like, for example, a moonwalk in Michael Jackson. You'll see some couples, even the guys, you know, they'll put it inside just to make it funny, you know. Okay. We have to be entertaining. We are supposed to be, you know, dancers are like, we are sort of like in the entertainment industry. We have to entertain. Oh. So that's why we cannot dance the same routine for the whole 10 years.
So that would count in favor of them in the competition, that they are trying to be creative.
It depends, it depends. Yeah, that would depend on the judges. The judges, if it's a very typical stereotype, you know, only Latin, the only Latin, then they might give you the look. You know, you're trying something out here, but I don't quite like it. You get lesser marks. Some judges, the younger ones say, creative, then, you know, I'll give you the points. Okay. Yeah.
Street dance has been officially recognized as part of dance sport alongside the conventional ballroom and Latin dances. Their origins are polar opposites, as Latin dances originated from the Latin American culture and the posh ballrooms of Europe, while hip-hop and breakdancing hail from the streets of working-class neighborhoods in New York. Can the inclusion of street dance actually help promote dance sport to a wider and younger audience?
I think it's a good idea. Ever since the World Dance Sport Federation, you know, adopted street dance and breaking, because it would actually give the youngsters a sense of purpose. I will take an example. For example, if you are a breakdancer yourself, breakdancing is no doubt, it's very physical. Mm-hmm. You will do head spins and everything.
Yeah, yeah.
If you were to, you know, do that, those kind of dances that require a lot of physical ability, how long could you do that? Probably 35 years old? I think that would be probably the maximum, really maximum, if you've been doing it for since young. But it's difficult if you get, you know, somebody who's working and you're 30 years old, you have to pick up breakdancing right now. It's not that it's impossible, it's possible, but what I'm trying to say is, because now hip-hop is really into WDSF, it would actually give the younger generation a sense of purpose that, you know, this could become a career rather than, you know, you will end what you like at the age of 35 and that's it. There's nothing else you can do. You can do a little bit of coaching, you can do a little bit of judging, but then again, there's no system would actually guide you, you know, somewhere.
Embarking on dance sport wasn't just a professional decision for Chua. It was also a personal one. From dabbling in it in 2007 to giving up a full-time job to pursue professional dance sport training in China, what was his motivation to take this major leap of faith in his life and career?
That time, I think, even before I had the job, I was studying in a college. I was doing my engineering diploma. Then after the school, I just came out and, you know, I just started scouting for work and, you know, just a normal 9-to-5 job. I was already dancing. I was already dancing when I was in college. So basically, when you reach the year 2011, where I got this advice from a mentor of mine, which is also our coach. So they told us, actually, if we want something, we have to pursue it because we're going to stick to our job for like, what, 40 years at least, you know? Yeah. So might as well do something that you really, really like. So back then, I was already started to teach beginner dancing, you know, like, you know, the beginners how to dance. And I kind of enjoy it and I liked it, not just for like 3 months, but I actually did it for continuously for about 1 year. So the passion was there until today. So I'm glad that actually I gave up, you know, what I was supposed to do stereotypically, you know, as a, you know, a traditional young man who's supposed to graduate and, you know, find a job.
So why China? Why was it your destination?
2 reasons, actually. Number one, because dance sport is a very expensive sport. The costumes, the cost, the lessons, the one-to-one lessons, they are very expensive. It would go up to easily about 500 ringgit per 45 minutes you have to pay. 45 minutes you're talking about. Okay. So you could. We even had lessons for about 1,000 ringgit per 45 minutes. So that is already one factor. The second factor was because we are still new at that time. I just started dancing 2007. 2011 was just a few years apart. So we don't have that much budget, you know. We have to self-fund ourselves. We don't have that money to go to Europe, to countries like Russia, to Italy, to train. That's very expensive. So the closest country we can go to is China. And because China, that time until today, they are one of the dominating Asian countries in dance sports. Mm-hmm. They have big universities, you know, just specifically for dance sport. Training in China and training back in your home country or anywhere else, it's very different because they groom you literally, they train you like military.
Wow.
Yeah, you will have to wake up like 6 or 7 in the morning and you have like the jogging for 1 hour. The whole school will have to do it together. So one of you miss, all of you have to get punished and things like that. We will train non-stop every day, Monday to Friday until I think 9:30 that time. Yeah. So it's like 6 to 9:30 at night, non-stop. We had our main coach in China. We also had some regular coaches, sub-coaches that we had in Italy and in Russia as well. So in Russia, usually we will get them to come over instead because, you know, for two person to come rather than, you know, a whole team going over there,
it's more
worth it for them to come over.
What does the training regime of a dance athlete look like? What are the workout routines most suitable or typical for dance athletes?
We have to do jogging. It's, you know, okay. No doubt. We have to do our own regular jog. And we have to do a lot of simulations. We have to do rounds and rounds and rounds of 5 different dances. So, for example, jive is the killer dance. Out of the 5 dances, jive is usually the last dance.
Oh, okay.
And it's also the killer dance that will draw away your every last bit of stamina.
Right.
So then we don't do samba, cha-cha, rumba, basso, jive, and we call it a round. We don't call it one round for practices. We have to do samba, jive, cha-cha, jive, rumba, jive, basso, jive, jive, jive. So we only end with jive at the end of each dances. So that is, we will conclude that as, you know, one round of, you know, stamina training. And we don't do that for one round per day. We have to do at least like 3 sets of it. So it will literally finishes out when I think by the first set.
For your agility to keep your body limber, what do you do for that? Do you do like, for instance, yoga?
We did try. Depends. Yeah. I think every athlete, they have their own method. Some would go for Pilates, some would go for yoga and etc. Some already have, they themselves are already very flexible, you know, in a way they would just do it on their own. Well, it really depends. Every athlete, they have their own method. I wouldn't say that it's really compulsory to do that.
As for the future of the local dance sport scene, Chua sees a considerable potential in our rising crop of young dance athletes.
Yeah, these few years, yes, I've seen quite a number of them, actually. In fact, quite a few promising young ones, be it whether are they 10 years old, 12 years old, 16 years old. I do find quite a few of them. They could potentially be, whether are they the next defending champion or they could bring Malaysia to a greater height, I believe there is a chance, which is not small, but I think quite high. But we just need a proper system. And we are hoping that the government will actually help, you know, in funding. They already recognize they just need funding, and we need a proper system which could actually guide the athletes further.
Right.
There was Chua Zheng Feng, who along with his partner is the current 8-time National Latin Dance Champion and competitive dance coach. If you'd like to find out more about his efforts, do head over to their website at www.mydancesport.com.my. And with that, we've come to the end of this week's edition of Bar None, the show that brings you through the ins and outs of the sporting world. If you'd like to revisit the interview, do head over to our website, www.bfm.my. If you'd like to get in touch with us, you can tweet us. We are at BFM Radio. And also don't forget to download our latest app via Google Play and the App Store. My name's Daryl Ong. Thanks for listening. And do join us again next week right here on BFM 89.9, the business station.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.
Hi, welcome to the Subway ad for $2.99 subs. How would you like it?
I'll take Drill Sergeant, please.
You got it.
All right, now listen up. I want each and every one of you to drop and give me a 6-inch meatball marinara, cold cut combo, veggie delight, or black forest ham on your choice of bread with any veggies you want for just $2.99 each.
Sir, yes, sir!
Subway! Make it what you want at participating restaurants. Additional charge for extras plus applicable tax. No additional discounts or coupons may be applied.